if you can truly sing that worship song from your heart, and that is the true worship of your heart, to look up and say, you're the source of life. I can't let go of you. There's nowhere else to go. No one else can save me but you. That you're the one that I call out to. You're the one who will rescue me. I will follow you. God will heal that heart. That's what God's looking for. That's what God wants. He wants a heart that will sincerely bow before him and express those words that we sang. And he will bring peace to that heart. He will bring wisdom to that mind. He will provide what we need as his children to survive this world. You know, 2 weeks ago when Greg was here, I asked you to pray for Simeon and Betty. And they were not two of them. Simeon was in the class, and his wife had not been able to get pregnant. Every time she was, they lost the child, and they were told that they could not have children. And we prayed at that time, as I told you, for a child. And he didn't get pregnant, okay, but she got pregnant. She must have gotten pregnant within that month, because here we are 9 months later, and 2 weeks ago, you remember that the baby was turned the wrong way, and the umbilical cord was wrapped around its neck, and we had been praying, and I know many of you had been praying for that. And the baby turned and it unwrapped, but because of all the complications she's had in the past, the doctor said that they thought that the childbirth was going to be too difficult, and so they had they took the baby with a cesarean section on Friday. And here's a picture of her. He sent me this picture Friday of her in the hospital. And there's the baby, Judah, and they named him Judah. Praise, because they're praising God that they have a child. And just wanted you to know that there's a picture of a very, very happy and grateful father. And what's interesting about it is that God used the church, and I'm not talking about the church building. He used brothers and sisters in God's family across the world, an ocean away, to be a part of what happened, even in the provision for the hospital that they went to. And it's just amazing how being connected to the body of Christ, or the church, is so necessary. We last week talked about last week we talked about what is divine healing. And this week, we're going to center in those same verses and talk about what is the church's role in divine healing. Because when we read those verses that we read, and most of the time people just skim over them and don't really read what it's saying, but the church is vitally involved in healing. As a matter of fact, I would say that without becoming a part of God's family, without becoming a part of Christ's body, you are never going to find the healing God wants to bring you. And that's in these verses. And so we're going to look at that, because in our society today, you know, we are so independent that we have created a gospel in which people believe that they can come to a point where they recognize their sin, they feel guilty for their sin, they're afraid of the judgment for their sin. So in an event of admitting that God is right and they are wrong, they can pray a prayer and that they get a ticket to heaven, without even considering that Jesus comes and says, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God. God's rule is at hand. You are the enemies and the rebels of God. You are not following God. You are not acknowledging God. You are not obeying God. And the kingdom of God is right here. It's being offered. You can enter into the kingdom of God. And instead of being the enemy of God and rejecting and ignoring God and going your own way, you can actually become a part of God's kingdom. That's what Christ came and died for. It wasn't a one-time event to whereas I believe that I can somehow say something or pray some kind of prayer that gives me the benefits of being in God's kingdom, but I can still live separate from God. I can still live in a place where I'm not asking God what he wants for my life. I'm not trying to live my life to please or to honor God. I'm not seeking God's will. I've got my own agenda. I've got the things that I want. And I want God to come help me build my kingdom. I'm not about building God's kingdom. But I deceived myself into believing because I prayed a prayer and because I felt bad that I can now somehow have the benefits of being in God's kingdom but still have my life completely separated from God and his rule in my life. That's a dangerous place to be. And we're going to take a look and we're going to see that without understanding that concept, you can't read what God is trying to say in those verses in James about prayer and about healing because you're taking it out of context. So if you'll open your Bibles right now to James chapter 5, we're going to read that whole thing again. We looked at verses 13 and we're going to concentrate on 14 and 15 today, but we're going to read the whole thing in context, and then we're going to get the last couple of verses, 16 through 18. We're going to look at those next week. But they're packed with very important truths. And so we want to understand exactly what God is thinking. We don't want to assume what God is saying and try to obligate God to something that we think he said that's not really in line with what he did. So I'm going to start off and I'm going to read in the ESV again today. And this verse 13 starts off like this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth bore its fruits. So let's just answer this question that we really looked at last week. What are these verses about? Okay, so you got you silent right there. Everybody's afraid to answer. What are these verses? They're about prayer. I mean, the average person reads over these. He says this verse is about healing physical sickness. These verses are about prayer. Now, sometimes we're praying about physical sickness. Sometimes we're praying about emotional sickness. Sometimes we're praying about mental sickness. Sometimes we're praying about needs that we have because we just feel like we are incapable or unable of performing the way God wants us to. But these verses are teaching us about prayer. And you can't narrow everything down and read everything into physical sickness because obviously as we read through these, and we're going to look through it again, it's more about spiritual health than it is about physical health. Not to say God's not concerned about your physical health, but he's more concerned about your spiritual health. What is the context in which these verses are written? Oh, once again, everyone's afraid to answer. See, reminds me of when I used to teach school. It is in the context of being persecuted for Christ and especially undergoing hardships, troubles, pain, physical problems, and really including physical sickness, because you are living for Christ in this world. And if you stop and think about it, once Jesus Christ came into your lives and you became a child of God and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit, you no longer belong to this world. You now are a child of God, and all the promise, your inheritance is God, and your inheritance is the things that he promises us when we move into that life where this evil world and the people who remain evil are separated out. But God has asked us to stay in this world, which includes physical sickness. It includes some of us carrying the genetic traits for disease that we inherited from the sin of Adam. It also includes being surrounded by people who are hostile to God. They want their own way. And if we're going to stand for righteousness, we're going to stand for goodness, we are going to experience some emotional trauma at people who do not want to be a part of us. Some of you have lost relationships with family members over your commitment to Christ. There's all kinds of mental strain. There's all kinds of financial strains. There are all kinds of strains in this world. But God has chosen to leave us in this world as his servants. And he promises to give us the ability to make it through this time in which we serve him as a light and as a salt. If we don't see that from the context of James, and we don't see that in the few verses before this, reminding us again that that's the context, then we're not going to be able to interpret what he's saying if we want to pull this out of context and say, well, I don't have to see myself as a servant of God. I don't have to understand why God has put me here. I don't have to understand the hostile world that I'm in. I don't have to understand why there is evil around me that's not in me. And I don't understand why God has put me in a place where I have to deal with it. Well, then we're not going to really be able to understand how he's telling us to get through it. And so that's the context. And we looked at these verses last week, and I'm just gonna read them. If anyone among you is suffering, what should he do? Well, he's gotta pray. And if the very first of John tells us, or excuse me, of James tells us what we're supposed to pray for. What's the most important thing we need when we have hardships and troubles and things that don't in our world make sense about what God's doing? We need wisdom. We need to understand, what is God doing? How does he want me to respond? How? Give me the faith and the understanding to remain faithful in this. I don't want to be overcome because things didn't work out the way I thought and I lose my faith. How many of you know somebody like that? We all know people like that. They don't understand what God is doing. They don't understand their place in this world. And so when they go through a hardship, which Jesus promised us they're going to go through, and they're experiencing a world that's not heaven yet, but they're expecting heaven on earth. And so they get discouraged, they get hopeless, they get angry, they get bitter, they lose their faith, and they walk away. And James is telling us, he's saying, look, you can't be like that. When you have trouble, you need to get with God. You need to draw close to God. You need to ask God, what are you doing here? For me, do you want to show your glory by removing this? Do you want to show your glory by my faithfulness to worship you through hard times? What are you doing? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show? How do I respond in this situation for you to get the glory that you want, not what I want out of it? And if we approach God with that heart, God will reveal to us what we need to be able to be faithful. And then we become joyous. We have the peace that passes understanding. We have a heart that can sing in a prison cell. And the world takes note of that. And this is, as we saw last week, it's public praise. We're supposed to sing the praises of God publicly. And that's what's in our heart. It reminds me of wind chimes. How many of you ever had wind chimes on your porch? Some of you like them, some of you hate them. I like them. I know people who don't like them. They don't like the noise that's there. But you're supposed to be like a wind chime. When the winds blow through your life, which they're coming, the storms are coming, what God expects for us is he expects for us to turn to him and let him show himself strong in our behalf and strengthen our spirits so that what comes out of us is music. And that is what this verse is saying, and that is the progression there. We're suffering, we pray. We find that joy of the Lord to go through, or the joy we have for God delivering us. and we praise. And it goes on from there, and it says, is any of you sick? And as we looked last week, this word is almost always used to mean struggling, weak, failing in faith. It is rarely used. As a matter of fact, we're going to see this another word that is the same thing translated physical sickness to us. We read sick. Now, we know that you can be sick mentally. We know that you can be sick emotionally. We know you can be spiritually sick. But it's funny how we read this physically sick only, isn't it? And does it include that? Yes, it does. But it includes much more than that. As a matter of fact, the next one we're going to read, there's only one time in the entire Bible it is not translated weak or struggling or failing in faith or doubting, but it's translated sick, and that's in this passage that we're looking at. And so it says, if any of you are struggling, if any of you are sick, you've got something, you're overwhelmed emotionally. I can't seem to be able to praise God. I can't seem to be able to feel like I can do God's will. I can't seem to be able to find any hope in Christ. I just don't feel like I can go forward anymore. I'm defeated. I'm beaten down. I'm overwhelmed. And let me tell you, when you get that way, oftentimes people do get physically sick. Maybe there's some type of struggle you don't think that you can face, but God has put you in a place where you're going to have to face it. You know, you go to work and you haven't done anything wrong, and they're telling you that they're downsizing and you're 56 years old and you don't have a job anymore. You're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to go through that. How does God want you to go through with it? What does he want you to do? Where does he want you to turn? It says if you're in a place like that where you as an individual, because the first thing that you do if you're struggling is what? Go call your friends? Go talk to somebody? Go try to see if you can find some counsel to help you? I'm telling you, that's what most people do, isn't it? But what James is saying, the first thing you need to do if you've got a problem is pray. Because the answer is going to come to you. And if you are in a place where God has put something upon you that you can't handle yourself, then you need to go to those above you. Then you need to call. The person who's there needs to call and surround himself with spiritual leaders. And a part of that is the hierarchy in the church. And if you'll remember in Exodus, Moses at one time was doing all of this counseling. He was doing all of this judging. He was helping. He was the one who was in charge of doing everything like that. And he found out in a message that was from God through his father-in-law that was not a very good way to do things. It wasn't going to help the people, and it was going to overwhelm him. And so he appointed people who were spiritual leaders, strong in the faith. Those people started looking after smaller and smaller groups so that everyone had some contact with someone who's a spiritual leader. That's what we do here. We have people who meet across this, we have people who meet one-on-one with someone who is a spiritual leader. We have people who are small group leaders. These are all people who are leading in the church, helping people grow up, because God wants everyone to be able to share the truth and love of Christ and the wisdom of Christ. Everyone should develop into a teacher. By now, we should all be teachers, is what Paul is saying to a certain group of person. Now, I know we have to develop into that. But you look at those things and you say, okay, I'm overwhelmed with this thing, or I've got something that's not me. I don't know how to handle this. Let me talk to those people around me who, they're spiritual influencers in my life. They're people God has put in my life that I know are further down the road than me. And maybe that discussion's not enough. So you talk to a small group leader, or you talk to one of the shepherd leaders, or you talk to Sean or I. And we have people in the youth that talk with their small group leaders. We have people in the youth who ended up that they need more, and so they go talk to Jonathan. I've had a couple of people in the youth that come to talk to me. But God has a hierarchy of love and care, just like we do. Macumbi has got 30 grandchildren. I'm going to let that sink in. He's got 30 grandchildren. He was telling me the other day, or yesterday, when we were in there, he was saying, when those kids come in, where do they go? Right on his lap. Because he's not going to do the discipline for those kids. He's going to spoil them. So there's someone else who's a leader in their life. Now, when they come in, it's kind of like he hears his children say, you know, this is your granddad. This is a man who loves God and he's done these things and whatever. And so is he the spiritual leader of the family? Of course he is. But is he going to be doing all the spiritual directing? Of course not. He's expecting those children of his to parent like he did and to help that go. But there are some times where a problem is so great that those kids come to him. There's a time when the grandchildren come to him. What it's saying is this. You were saved out of the separateness and the loneliness of being alienated from God into the family of God. So if you are a Christian, you are a member of the church. And that doesn't mean a building here, an institution, but it means the body of true believers. We are all connected to one. And if you are searching for God's will, and if you are searching for God's provision, and if you are searching for God's healing, outside of being connected in the family that Christ saved you into, you're spiritually sick. You're not going to be able to get where God wants you to be. How are you going to be a part of the teamwork of evangelizing the world, which Christ said would come through the church, if you think your life is separate from the church? If you think that the priorities and the pull of your life is more important than you loving the family, and so you're not connected to the family, and you don't have anyone connected to you who's helping you, well, God's trying to get your attention. And God's trying to get your attention through these scriptures. And he's trying to say, I know that's the American way. I know that's the American church way. Because we have so much at our disposal that we think that we can afford somehow to be able to make it on our own without having to be in a place where we have to give, give, give. And how many of you know, as you become a leader in the church, even if you're a leader of one person or of a small group of five, you're going to have to give. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to parent those children. And everybody needs a parent. And that's how the church is set up. And when he's talking about the context of healing right here, he is talking about it in this context. And I want to tell you, just like we talked about last week, doctors will tell you that up to 90% of all illnesses are caused by stress and by unforgiveness. You say, well, it's my gallbladder. Well, the doctors will say that that comes from the hormonal secretions and the way your body is reacting from not being spiritually at peace. And so you can't divorce the two, even though we look at it and feel like somehow I can be separate from God, not taking my place in the body to bring up the next generation of believers. But somehow I can contact God and he's going to, you know, make my life good and take away things even though I'm not following him. Well, the Bible's very clear that a lot of those things are given to us to get our attention. Because we don't look in Scripture enough to really see what God is doing. I look to see the part I want. I want salvation. I don't look to see the part that God wants. I want you to be a part of my kingdom, an important part. A part that the body is weaker if you're not doing your part. And so when we talk about healing, healing is for God's people who are following him. And that's the context in which we need to look at it. I showed you this picture 2 weeks ago too, and we prayed for Jimmy. Some of you have been praying for him because he lost his 10-year-old son. And he was devastated. And there were some people even from this body that contacted him. And people around. And he was not going to come to the TPI training because he felt like, you know, he was too devastated, family's too devastated. And as he sat around, he realized that this is what God had called him to, and he needed to be there. And so he came. And he was loved and he was encouraged and he was embraced by his fellow pastors there. Here's a picture of him. Here's a picture of him after the, I don't know the dates because I can't remember, but after we did that service Sunday, Greg gave me this picture. Here's the picture of him after he came. Take a look at that heart. I know people who have lost a son even that wasn't 10 years old, lost one that's older, and they felt like they could never smile again. You know, and can you explain that? No, but are you going to have to go through it? Yes, you are. And we need the body and we need the church for healing, because God is going in the next life to have all these things in place, but they're not going to be in place here. God is more concerned with spiritual things than he is physical things. The question is, are you? God does not want, and sometimes in his mercy, he heals people just to spare them, and he helps people just to spare them from having their ends life completely without having a chance. He's still working to help them to come to Christ. But he is interested in a heart that can sing that song that we were singing. The question is, what are we concerned about? Or do we recognize the importance of those spiritual things, and is that what we're doing? The truth is this: spiritual things always affect physical things. They always do. You get emotionally down, you get depressed, you get down. Let me tell you something. It's affecting the relationships around you, whether you realize it or not. It affects your ability to do what God has placed you on this earth to do if people are afraid to talk to you because they don't know how you're going to react. Spiritual things always affect physical things. Two basic truths. All physical sickness is the result of sin. But not all physical sickness is the result of your sin. Christ carried our sins for him. Christ carried our sins on him on that cross that we might be healed. And he is our example, 1 Peter says. And we're supposed to follow him and carry the sins of the world on our shoulders in order that they might see the love of God and be healed. And so all physical sickness, all strain, emotional, mental, physical, some of it's the result of Adam's sin in our genes. But we carry that in this world. But we're not going to carry it in the next. God has promised to heal all believers completely. But he has not promised to heal them all in this fallen world. Some of us will carry some of those burdens, mentally, emotionally, physically. We will carry those to do God's will. And God is trusting us to be able to do that. We need to be aware that we are his servants in that. Here's a bonus truth. We should pray more about sinners going to heaven than to keep the saints out of it. You know, I hesitate saying this because we're all guilty of it. I have been guilty of it myself. But I have heard people at different times come up to me since I've been pastor of this church, which is only 10 years. I've been a member for 26, but people don't always come and say the same thing. But I've had people say, you know, I struggle with in my small group. You know why I struggle? Because when it comes time to pray, it's Aunt Susie. It's always somebody who's sick. And it's a physical sickness that maybe God's going to heal, maybe he's not. But that's what we pray for. You know, and it thrills me when I hear people who get excited because they see the growth in that, to whereas when their small group comes together, they're praying for the hearts of the people in that group. They're praying for the hearts of the people that group might touch. They're praying for the things that God wants us to pray about. Instead of being so focused on whether or not, you know, my toothache's going away. It's not that I don't want that to happen. It's not that that's not important. A toothache can keep me from being able to share Christ because it hurts and it takes my mind off of it. I'm saying you can't pray for that. But what I'm saying is that can't be what we're about. Those things are down the line of what's important. So if any one of you is sick, let him call for the elders. No one gets healed of anything, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical. No one gets healed if they don't want to be. You can pray all you want. The idea that I am going to come and pray for somebody and God is going to heal them if they don't want to be healed is pretty ludicrous. Many of us pray for people who've got an attitude that's hard towards God. Let me tell you something. It's their prayer that God's going to hear that changes that. Now, we can be a tool in that, And I'm not saying that God won't answer our prayers like that, but what God is after is he is after getting that person to surrender to him. He doesn't go around making a practice of thinking that if I heal the 9 lepers, that everything's going to be okay, and we'll just pretend like they're not going to die and they're not going to hell. His idea is for people to be made whole. And we're a part of that. And yes, physical illness, mental stress, emotional stress, that gives us an opportunity to share Christ. And God works through those things. But it's not just about the physical things. Let him call for the elders of the church. God works through the church. He wants the church unified. It's in the love that we have for one another that Christ is seen. And so those are very, very important things. And let them pray over him. Man, what excites me is how many times I see people in this congregation praying for someone else. Or I hear stories that people tell that say, you know what, I was talking to somebody on the phone and it was a client of mine, or it was somebody, one of my employees, or whatever it is. They're talking with somebody and they share some things because I guess they see in you some compassion of Christ. And they say, you know, it just struck me, you know, I need to pray for him. And instead of saying, I'll pray for you, I just said, let me pray for you. And they were excited about the experience of the bond that built and the new place that put them in, able to communicate what's really in their heart simply because they prayed for somebody. And we need to pray for each other. God uses that. He uses us in great ways. It says anointing him with oil. And that symbol of that is what the church is about. It is about helping people grow to the place where they're equipped to do the ministry. They're equipped to do the will of God themselves. And we are setting them apart to serve God and to do God's will. That's the emphasis of this prayer. We come to pray first that you will serve God no matter what. Whether you're in difficulties or whether he's bringing you out of difficulties, you will praise him, you will seek his will, you will serve him. You are separated apart as holy, as separated to God's work. That's the bottom line of the prayer. And we anoint him with oil. And this is not the normal word used for oil. This is a word that is the medicinal oil that we talked about, not the kind Jill Pratt sells, but it is the medicinal oil that says, as a church member, as a small group leader, as a spiritual mentor, as a pastor, I'm going to bring whatever I can to help in the situation. Because physical help goes along with spiritual help. And the spiritual affects the physical, but the physical is certainly the tool of Satan to keep us from thinking about the spiritual. And so we want to offer whatever help we can give, but we want to focus on the help that God wants to give, because we do it in the name of the Lord. And capturing and having that as the driving force of our hearts, we know what God wants us to do and we're going to do it. It makes all the difference in the world in how God works. And the prayer, it says, the prayer of faith or of faithfulness. In other words, this is the prayer of someone who understands that God is the king of the kingdom. And I see him as a wonderful king. And because he is so great and merciful and loving, I commit myself to obeying his will. That's a faithful person. I looked for a good quote for this. I couldn't find one, so I made one up. So I'm not quoting a great theologian, but I'm quoting myself. Here's my commentary on Jesus' saying. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Here's my commentary. But if you love the world, or really, when people love the world, they really love who? They love themselves. But if you love the world, or really love yourself and what the world offers you, then you will obey and follow human logic and you will seek worldly wisdom. You won't be seeking what God wants to do in your situation. You'll be seeking how can you get out of it so you feel better. And that's a huge difference with God. And the prayer of faith will save, it will restore. Not just physically take the healness away and leave the spiritual sickness there. It will restore the one who is sick. And as we said again, this is the only time that this word is translated sick. All the rest of the time, both in secular and in the Bible, it is weary, faint-hearted. It has to do with things of the heart. And the Lord will raise him up, and that Greek word is to restore or awaken him. This is what God is after in this section about prayer. And yes, physical illness, physical problems, they point us to these things, but God wants us to see our relationship with him as the only answer, which we prayed. He's the only one who can save us. There's salvation only in his name, but God wants you to believe that and to live it. So the real question is, do you believe in faith healing or do you believe in divine healing? Faith healing is when I believe that somehow if I can muster up the faith or if I can pray in a certain way or if I can get the right words or if I can go to the right person, somehow my life will be made whole outside of my submission to Christ. I cannot fully be devoted to God's will, and yet God will change things and make them better in my life. Well, he may adjust some things to help us, but my life will never be better when I am not committed to God's will. Divine healing is this: God has a purpose in everything he allows in our life. And the stronger we are, the more we should expect God to give us tougher tasks. It's how reality is. It's what we do in the workplace. You can't send a Boy Scout in to do the work of a Marine, and God doesn't do that either. If our faith grows, guess what we're going to get? More trials, more temptations, more opportunity to show the world that even though we're in the same situation they are, we handle it differently because the Holy Spirit is in our lives and Christ is with us. You can't see that when everything is going good. And so do we believe in faith healing or do we believe that God is in charge and we are submitted to worship him just like Job no matter what happens? Because he is worthy and we know in the end he can be trusted. Or does our faith only hold up if we can see that he can be trusted because we're getting what we want? And if he's committed sins or if he is trapped in a sin, or if he is continually sinning, that's our problem, isn't it? If we're in a place where we find it difficult to wholly submit to God and to obey him, the church helps strengthen, encourage, build up, and help us come to a place where we can confess and repent, and we can be forgiven. Faith is an action. Like a zip file. When you open it up, obedience is right there. Because when you think about it, repentance is something you do. Confession is something you do. Believe is a verb that connotes action. Acceptance is an action. Our faith is an action. Our relationship with God is a change of mind and a change of heart that produces faith that is not dead. There's only one place in the Bible where faith stands alone and doesn't have an if, but, or something combined with it. And that's in James. And it tells you that faith that doesn't produce works is what? Dead. And Christ died that we might be alive. Therefore, here's this prescription for healing. Confess your sins one to another. And that doesn't mean come up here and just tell everybody in the world or tell everybody in the church. But when you're struggling with something and it has you defeated, you need to have somebody who's a spiritual partner with you that you can share that with, that they can strengthen you or help you get a different perspective. And you might have to go up the chain and include a few more people. We don't air dirty laundry here, because confess your sins one to another doesn't mean gossip. It doesn't mean spread things, but it does mean that we need help. And when we feel like we need help, we need to get it in the church from our brothers and sisters, from one another. And pray for one another. We cannot pray enough. Mukumbi said something really convicted me last night. And I think it's been something that I have struggled with in my life, and it just hit it right on the nose. And it's something that I know in the United States we all struggle with. He said, prayerlessness is the sign of pride. I feel like I can make it on my own. I don't need to fall on my knees before God and cry out to Him. I don't need to depend on God. I don't need to communicate. I don't need to know what God wants me to do. I'm not desperate for God. Why? Because I think I can make it. We don't want to be prayerless. We want to be praying for one another, recognizing that we all need more help than we think, and we're not going to get it if we can't get connected to God. I'm going to end with this little, well, let me read that as it goes, so that you may be healed. I'm going to end with this little part right here. This is Rick Rupp. Many of you in here, I know we've got some new people, but many of you here have known him for 30 years or 25 years or whatever. And Rick went through some very, very debilitating problems with his tailbone and with his back. And he went from a place to where he was very vibrant to a place where he was spending 23 hours a day in bed and in all kinds of pain and a lot of painkillers. And I went to see him before the stage got that bad. And he was struggling. He was struggling with this physical problem that he was having and all the things that were being taken away from him. And we talked and we prayed and we started planting seeds, and he started seeking God and seeking to have those seeds grow, that God had allowed this for him and God was not through with him. If God had him alive, he still had a purpose in life, and he dedicated his life to finding it. And so he started reaching out to people on the telephone. He started writing cards. Some of you in here get cards from him. And I went by his house last week because he called me and he said, I want you to show me this. I want to show you this list. He said, what I've decided is that I'm not doing enough for God. And so he's got a list of 50 people and he contacts them all and he prays for them. And he said, you know, my whole life is just like it's been the most wonderful thing. I want you to come see this list. Because what it has done, it has given him this joy of being used in God's kingdom and spiritual life. It says, pray for one another that you might be healed. He's praying for people that God would make them whole, that God would heal their hearts, that God would work in their things. He goes, I am so blessed by all the godly relationships I have. This is a man who's homebound. And I know that in a crowd this size, we've got people sitting in this room who feel like they're all alone, who feel like their lives don't matter, who don't understand why God's got them here, and they don't see any influence their life has. And this is a man who is homebound, and yet he looks up, and he is so grateful and filled with joy because in his state, he sees God using him. That's a powerful message. That's the message of the verses that we're reading. That you may be healed or you may be made whole. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I like that better than avails much. Our prayers work, but they need to be prayers about what God's working on. A lot of times we pray on the things we're working on that are actually sometimes opposite of what God's working on. But God answers prayers, and God is powerful. And we want to make sure that our prayers and our lives avail much. And that's our choice. It's our choice. Well, let's just bow your heads. And I know God's word, it touches us in a lot of different ways. And there may be some of you right here, as you're thinking, God is convicting you of saying, hey, get your priorities on the kingdom of God. Start stepping out and searching for what you can do to touch other people and to help other people, rather than what you can do to comfort yourself. Some of you are still mulling over and still feeling the call to pray for those that you love, especially your loved ones. You've got children, or you've got family members, or you've got close friends that you know are a million miles from God. And something in your heart is just pounding to say, God, help me find a way to reach them. And so I'm going to give you just a few moments just to pray however God calls you. This altar is open if you want to come down here and pray. If there's something or someone you want me to pray with you for, or Macumbi, you come down here and we'll do that. But I'm going to give you a few moments just to pour your heart out to God and respond to whatever he has been telling you. Oh, Father, we lift our hearts and we lift our eyes to you. There is no salvation outside the name of Jesus Christ. And we are so grateful, Lord, that though we can never see you and we can't see what you're doing and we can't understand what you're doing, that you loved us enough that Jesus Christ came fully God and fully man on this earth so we could see and understand your compassion, your love, and not just your willingness to take our sin upon you and forgive it, but the power of the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead. And the experience we've had in our hearts of having our hearts completely changed and lifted up and in connection with you. And for the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being able to hear your wisdom and to have your hand guide us. And so we thank you, Lord, and we just lay ourselves before you. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we thank you that you're with us. And we pray for those around us, Lord, that you'll continue to work in their lives and use us as a tool to show them you're alive inside of us and that you can become alive inside of them. We thank you and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.